Okay, so welcome back, everybody. Continuing where we left off last night by Yom Bez, Aleph Elul. We're going to really be focused today on mainly practices that have to do with Erev Rosh Hashanah. Again, I know that sounds a little bit far off, but we got to get through Rosh Hashanah if we want to get through all of Sesame Tshuvas and Yom Kippur, and hopefully maybe even into Sukkot. So we are, again, on page Hey, if you're following along, by Yom Bez, where it says Aleph Elul. So there is a minhag of Ta'anios b'yamei Slichos v'aseres yamei Tshuva. So again, we're going to get to Erev Rosh Hashanah in a moment. First, it talks about some other fast days, which not everybody is necessarily knowing b'zman hazeh, but perhaps there are some that do. So he says, Yesh no'agim l'zanos b'yom rishon shel Slichos. There are those who have the minhag to fast on the first day of Slichos. Hamedaktikim no'agul l'zanos kol aseres yamei Tshuva. And those who were really careful had the practice to fast all of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. There's only one problem. There's a bunch of days in Aseres Yemei Tshuva that you can't fast. Ulam kevin shechasarim lahem dalad yom. And there's 4 days in Aseres Yemei Tshuva you can't. She'enim yechol nesanos behem dahinu bezyom shosh Hashanah Shabbos Shuva Erev Yom Kippur. But you can't fast on Rosh Hashanah, can't fast on Shabbos, and you can't fast on Erev Yom Kippur. The mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur. So you got 4 days there that you cannot fast. Lachim misanim dalad yom kodem Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, these people have this custom, had the custom to fast the 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. Again, I don't believe this would be connected to our conversation last night about the Slichos, meaning even if Rosh Hashanah fell out in the earlier part of the week and therefore we started saying Slichos a full week before, people were not fasting the entire day of Slichos. I don't think it's connected to the Slichos. It's just that this minog was to be fasting during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and by default you can't fast 4 of them, so we add the 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. And if you're going to have this practice to fast, in korn v'yachal b'chol tainios elu, we don't lean at mincha time, or shachos time, I guess, the typical tainis tzibor leaning of v'yachal, v'gam ein omer b'rchas kohanim b'mincha, we don't say at the end of Chazar Shashat the b'rchas kohanim, which normally we never say at mincha except for on fast days, so that we don't say also, meaning the point is we don't treat this like a real tainis tzibor. And mutter, mishum de ein dinim ketanis tibur. Omer manenu betfilas lachash avalo b'cheres hashatz. But the person, an individual who is fasting these days, can say anenu during his davening of mincha, but not the chazan should not say in cheres hashatz again for the same reason. Let's keep reading one more paragraph, and then we'll figure out, if this is something that we do or not. Misha noeg lehasanos b'yamim eil b'chol shana. Let's say someone has a practice to do this every year. So before I keep reading, just a quick background, there's normally a concept when it comes to accepting fasts upon oneself that typically if you're accepting a fast that's not, so to speak, an obligation of a fast, you're supposed to accept upon it by mincha time the day before. And if not, then it's not really going to be fully required. Right? So here he says, let's say somebody normally fasts these fast days, right? So that's your normal minhag. So you don't have to accept upon it yourself the day before because it's like a practice for you already. This is your normal minhag. And additionally, since this is just kind of a way of trying to, make yourself, hold back, food from yourself and, to pain you. I don't know if it's real pain, but, to be for discomfort. Mishum tshuva, to lead you to tshuva. She's chapra v'onosav. Meaning the point is this fast day is not so much betoras tanis, official tanis. It's just an activity which is hoping to put yourself into the mode of tshuva. And therefore, it's not a full-fledged fast, and therefore, you do not have to accept it upon yourself the day before at mincha time. And furthermore, kevan shelo kibol lav atanis me'et, well, since you didn't accept it the day before, ein tzarich lehes'anos kol hayom. These are not fasts that you have to fast the entire day. How far do you fast? Yeshom shetzarich lehes'anos ad plaga mincha, some say to plaga mincha, which is around an hour and a quarter before Shkia, so that's already further in the day, probably somewhere in the, I don't know what it will fall out this year, but I'm guessing somewhere in the Shkia now is right around 8 o'clock, so, you know, it's probably in the six-ish range by the time we hit Rosh Hashanah. Again, we'd have to check the Luach exactly to be sure, but it's roughly that around that time. So there are those who say you should fast until Plaga Mincha, v'az yachol lechol and kvar hispil mincha, and then you can eat assuming you've davened. V'yishrom z'yachol hispil mincha gedola. Some say you could even eat earlier, just by mincha gedola, which is about a half an hour after Chatzos. You can eat already then. Velomar aninu, in that mincha you should daven, then say aninu, v'achakach yochel, then you can eat. And of course, adam cholosh bevada yochel lismoch al deyazu. And someone who's typically weak is able to rely on this opinion and only fast until mincha gedola. So again, let's just assume for the next paragraph again, like we've been assuming that this is your practice. So someone who did not accept upon himself the fast the day before, because this is his normal practice, mutulo echo besudas mitzvah. He's also allowed, if it should happen to fall out, a sudas mitzvah on these days, kagum bris milah or pidgin aben. So then it's again and not a full-fledged tainus, so therefore he's allowed to eat at a sudas mitzvah. Came in shehutelo echo besuda, and there once he's already allowed to eat at a suda, shuvenu tainus umutelo echo lachakach. So he's already allowed to eat afterwards because it's not considered a tainus for him. Abal ein lecho kodem a suda, but he shouldn't eat before the suda because again at that point it's still betoras, the fast, and therefore once the sudas mitzvah comes that overrides it, he's allowed to eat, and then he can eat afterwards, but before the suda he shouldn't. Misha achol basudas mitzvah, and somebody who did eat a sudas mitzvah, ein tzarich lasanos achakach yom acher. He doesn't have to make it up. Again, that's pointed out because when it comes to full-fledged tainis that one accepts upon themselves, so sometimes there are the situations where if you mess it up or you're not able to fast, you might have to make it up. So he's pointing out that in this case, you do not have to make up these fasts. Misha chulek tzas, and anyone who's even a little bit sick, or just not a good faster, yesh lahakol echol b'tainios elu, he can be mekel and eat during these tainios, aval yesh lo lasos hataras nedarim. But again, if it's normally his practice to fast, so now he's got to do hataras nedarim, which we're going to talk a little bit more about on the next page in general, right? So because it's normally his practice, so he has to do hataras nedarim to be matir the neder, that this is a practice that he normally did. Again, but it's okay to do that. That's not a problem because again, he's considered a chola, and this is not amongst the most important fasts, and therefore we allow him to eat. Perhaps we even tell him to eat. Now, all of this was based on the assumption that that's your normal minhag. to be honest, I don't believe that the minhag olam in most places today is to accept these fasts upon ourselves. I definitely would assume that one shouldn't really fast on these days without talking about it with their Rav, because, again, I don't believe this is the primary minhag olam. However, that being said, everything we just learned is extremely important as it connects to the next page, if we turn the page, because the concept is the same on Erev Rosh Hashanah. And Noagim L'Shanos be'Erev Rosh Hashanah. There is a minhag, and this is a minhag that is a very accepted minhag, and one really should keep this minhag of fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Now, what does that mean? Noagim Shafil Hana'arim Shegiel Yigimel Shanim V'Na'ar Shegiel Yibay Shanim. He says even the young kids who are above Bar Bas Mitzvah should do this. Gam Kei Misanim, they should fast too. Kevin Shegiel Kein, I'm sorry, Kei Mishanagul Kein. And since this is the minhag, lachin in tzarich lekabel as a tainis biyom shelafanav. Again, like we said in the previous page, since this is the overwhelming prevalent custom, you don't have to accept it upon yourself. The only time you accept fast upon yourselves is for additional kind of individual, non-normal, regular type of fast. Here, this is a minhag olam to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah, so it's not necessary to accept it the day before. V'gamin tzarich lehashlam as a tainis v'chol dinim kemush atanis do'el. So here, in one very quick sentence, he makes a quick, fleeting point that's based on what he said on the page before. But to us, I think this is the most important line so far, because again, this is a minhag that we should keep with. So he says that because this is, like we said, like on the previous page, one of these extra fasts, you don't have to be mashlim it, you don't have to finish it, and all the other halachos left here, if you're sick or for sudas mitzvah and so on, you would be allowed to eat. So it happens to be that there, practically speaking, there are two customs. Some people on Erev Rosh Hashanah fast until Plag HaMincha. I would think that that's probably, if I could say so, like the more prevalent of the minhagim of those who fast. And there's those who fast just until Mincha Gedola, which is about a half hour after Chatzos. And again, there's definitely makoros for either of those two practices. The one thing that one shouldn't do is one dafka shayach not fast the entire day, because we know that we're going to come into Rosh Hashanah, have our suda, and we don't want to come in, you know, like a hungry animal into our suda. It's like a bizayon to yontif to come in and eat, you know, like a pig, so to speak, because we're so hungry having not eaten the day. That would be a bizayon to yontif. So we don't want to try to do something good in fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah at the expense of Yontif. So the practice is to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah, which is definitely the Minhag Olam. Again, whether or not your Minhag is to fast till Mincha Gedola or to Plag Mincha, so that you have to perhaps ask your Rav or see what your custom is to decide which of those two to do. But again, this as opposed to the previous phase, this is a minhag that one really should conduct himself or herself with. Now, obviously, someone who's not a good faster, this would certainly not be the fast to start to play around with. And if they don't fast well, I probably would tell such a person not to even begin. This is for normal people who have, you know, normal in the health-wise perspective, who are able to fast and it not really affect them negatively. So that's who we're talking to. But someone who's a bad faster is going to get a migraine, going to get sick, whatever it might be. So again, this is not an absolute requirement. It's a minhag. Okay. Ein omen tachnun be'erev Rosh Hashanah betfilah. So we don't say tachnun on Erev Rosh Hashanah, like kumo kol shar Erev Yontif. Like every Erev Yontif, we don't say tachnun. Mikomakum b'slichos omen also. But if you say slichos, you'll know that at the end of slichos, the very end of slichos, we end with tachnun. So if you normally daven shachris with slichos, you'll say tachnun twice, so to speak, on a typical slichos day. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, we don't say the regular tachnun, but by slichos, you do say afim nim shachachar acha alos hashachar. Even if you're already during the daytime, and again, remember, like we said yesterday, most of the, at least originally, people said slichos while it was still early in the morning, before morning even. So even though he says that you may end up finishing slichos after alos hashachar, kevan sharov hapamim regilim the same kodem alos hashachar, since the majority of the times you're going to finish before alos hashachar, tiknu lomer also. So the takanas chazal was to say the tachanun on Erev Rosh Hashanah after slichos. Even if one every so often it ends up that you end up saying it while it's daytime already. Now the point is the footnote in number 44 that poskim say, today most of us don't really get up that early and we say it when it's already daytime. He says that the chazal didn't change that point, and therefore even though most of us as a matter of practice, we'll say slichos by daytime in the morning when it's not so early. We get up at 7 o'clock, whatever it is. We daven 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. We still should say slichos, right? So it's already after Alos HaShachar and it's Erev Rosh Hashanah. You still should say slichos, even though this main reason would seemingly only apply based on the logic of when we said it at a time when we said it earlier than Alos HaShachar. But the minhag is that we do not say tachnun, the regular tachnun, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, but we do say it after slichos. Ein token b'shofar b'Erev Rosh Hashanah. So we know the practice that we started with yesterday, which we'll start tomorrow morning, that we have a normal practice of all of Chodesh Elul to blow the shofar. We don't blow the shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Why? So there's famous two reasons. Again, one would be one that I would call the halachic reason, the outwardly, clearly, easily to understand reason, and one a little more hidden, a little more alpisod, exactly what it means. We'll just read through in the basic idea, but there's a lot more to talk about it. So yesh lezeh beis tamim, two reasons. Tam rishon hu, the first, kedei lehapsep in tekiyos derashus, the tekiyos dechova. We want to make a separation between the tekiyos that we've been blowing all month, which are a rishus, they're voluntary, they're just a minhug, and the tekiyah of Rosh Hashanah itself, which is a chi of diaraisa, mitzvah diaraisa. So we want to separate them so that it's clear that Rosh Hashanah is itself something different than what we've been doing all month. All month was just a minhag, now it's going to be a mitzvah diaraisa. What happens if the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos, and therefore you're not going to blow shofar? So maybe Erev Rosh Hashanah we should still blow shofar, because we'll have the first day of Rosh Hashanah as the break. No, afke shecha yom echad shel Rosh Hashanah b'Shabbos ain token be'er Shabbos. We still don't blow the shofar er Rosh Hashanah. Tekevin she'omer b'Shabbos zichron tur. Because in the tefillah, we change the language in the davening. We say zichron tur, a reminder of the tshua, because we can't actually blow the tshua. Have a kemot kia, but that kind of counts, so to speak, as a tshua. So we have enough of a remembrance of a mention of the tshua on Shabbos. So again, er Rosh Hashanah, that comes out on a Friday, we still would not blow the shofar, even though on the next day, first day, Shabbos, we are not going to be blowing the shofar. So according to this, there's no problem on Erev Rosh Hashanah blowing the shofar to practice or to teach somebody how to blow the shofar. Because it's enough of a break, of a separation, by the fact that we're not blowing it in shul like we have been all month. Hatam Hasheni, who? What's the second reason why we don't blow shofar Erev Rosh Hashanah? Kedei la'arvei v'sasatan. So that means that we want to kind of confuse the satan. Sheyizbor shekvar over yom hadin. That somehow, if we stop blowing shofar for this day, we're going to confuse him, and he's going to think, oh, Rosh Hashanah is over, they stopped blowing shofar. And then he won't be able to come along and try to affect our judgment in a negative way. So according to this, Lafitam Zeh Gam Lislami Din Liskoa. So it would make sense, maybe even one who's learning or teaching shouldn't blow shofar that day, because that will bring back the satan. No, others say even according to that reason, you just go in a closed room, and somehow being in a closed room will help you. How to understand this on a deeper level requires some further thought. But these are the two reasons, either to make a separation between Tekiyas to Rishus and Tekiyas to Chova, or because of somehow, whatever that means, that we're mixing up the Satan, the Arvi vs. Satan. What else about Erev Rosh Hashanah? Mechapsim mistapim b'Erev Rosh Hashanah. The minhag is to do the laundry, to get a haircut, to get all ready in those ways before Rosh Hashanah. Kedei laharos she'anu betchuchim b'chazdo yisbarach sheyotzi letzadik v'meshotinu. So it's interesting. We're going to talk more about this, that Rosh Hashanah kind of has a dual role. On the one hand, it has the serious Yom HaDin, but on the other hand, unlike Yom Kippur, we have a chiyuv to eat. There is a yantif part of it too. So we, to a certain extent, we want to prepare ourselves like a yantif, and it's kind of showing ourselves that we're confident in the chesed of Hashem that we'll end up with a good judgment. However, you should get ready in that way, but maybe not. Rosh Hashanah is not the time to wear your finest suit, your finest dress. There's, again, that's the balance. There's this duality in Rosh Hashanah that it is the emas hadin, the fear of judgment should be upon us, but at the same time, it has the positive aspect. So we treat it like a yentif, but don't go overboard. Habale tefila v'atokeya nogin lilbosh hakittel v'Rosh Hashanah, and those who daven and the Baal Tokeya has the minog too to wear a kittel on Rosh Hashanah. Now, Hagim Litbol, so just a little bit of a precursor to this paragraph. I mean, everyone knows, I'll just read the first few words for a second. Noagim Litbol be'erev Rosh Hashanah. So there's a practice amongst men and boys to go to the mikveh and to be tovo on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Now, the truth is, again, just to keep this a little bit brief, just because it's a bigger topic than we have time to explain fully, we all probably know that Bezman HaBeis HaMikdash, everybody went to the mikveh. Everybody kept the rules of Tumah v'Tahara, which are pretty extensive, because in order to partake in the Beis HaMikdash and in Kodshim and bring Karbanos and so on, everybody had to be Tahar. It's an Isra D'Oraisa to come to the Beis HaMikdash if you're Tameh. And therefore, married men, after having marital relations, would be considered Tameh, and therefore they would have to go to the mikveh if they want to be able to partake in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, again, Bezman HaZeh today, we don't have that, because the rules of Tumah V'Tahara are not exactly, we don't practice them to their fullest extent, because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash anymore. But nevertheless, on Rosh Hashanah, near Yom Kippur, we have this minhag of Noagin Litbol be'erev Rosh Hashanah Mishum Keri, that we have this minhag one time a year or two times a year to be tovo in the mikveh. Im enu yachol livo b'mitzvah tshina. Let's say you live in a place that's freezing cold, you can't get to the mikveh. Yir lishpol chal gufo tes kavim mayim. So then you just should sprinkle upon yourself, 9 kavim of water, and that's good enough. Okay. Lo yaktam litbol ad shah kodem chatzos hayom. It's preferable not to go to the mikveh until after chatzos, after midday. In a footnote, he points out that if you're not going to be able to do it later, someone is going to be working and coming home late or some other situation. So, of course, you could go earlier, but the proper minhag is to go after Chatzos Erev Rosh Hashanah. So this is one of those examples that where there's again, this is a minhag, that it's proper to refrain from marital relations on the two nights of Rosh Hashanah, so that this tefillah should get him through both the first 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Lamim hulel tefillah, but if it's the night that the wife goes to the mikvah, chayiv l'kayim onasa, so then there's a mitzvah for them to have relations, and therefore he would be able to do so. V'yachzer v'yitzvah b'shachas, then in the morning on Rosh Hashanah, he should go back to the mikvah. V'chein im yish chashash yevol de'aveir yishamrish v'yichzer v'yatvil b'shachas. And so too, if for some reason he's concerned that if they don't have relations, he's going to come to some aveira, he's allowed to do that as well. So again, it's just a minhag, that the proper minhag is to refrain from the first two nights of Rosh Hashanah, but again, we see there are some exceptions. Yesh Makomos, we'll just finish up to the end of this topic, and then we'll call it a night on this. Yesh Makomos, and Noagin Leilich, but Erev Rosh Hashanah, the Beis HaKvaro, so there's a minhag on Erev Rosh Hashanah to go to cemeteries, Uluharbos Chasham Betchinos, and to daven there. Mishum Desham Hu Mokom Menuchas at Tzadikim Vatfila Mekubel Hashem Yoser. Because this is a place where the Tzadikim are at rest, and therefore it's a place where Tfilos are even heard even more. Ah, Yasim Agamoso Negan Amesim Chas V'Shalom, but what our Kavana should not be that we're somehow davening to them, to those who have passed away, Chas V'Shalom. Rather, Shehem Ba'atzim Yoshiu also Be'ezah Koach Eliyavakesh Me'akadosh, meaning we're not assuming that they have some kind of koach for us. Eliyavakesh Me'akadosh Baruch Hu She'yitin Levrachim B'Zechus HaTzadikim Shochnei Afar. Rather, what we're asking Hashem is in the Zechus of the Tzadikim who have passed away, in their merit, we should be Zocha to a good judgment. So it's a place that we're davening, which means we're not davening to those people, Chas V'Shalom, but rather it's a Mokum that's Miyuchad, as a good place for Tefillah, that we daven in their merit that we should be judged properly or well. Yishliten sham tzedaka, and it's proper to give tzedaka. La'aniyim there, kodem shiyomar tchinos, before you daven. Noagim lahakev beis hakvaros, and there's some kind of custom to kind of walk around the cemetery. Ein leilech al kever echa beis pamen biyom echad, but you shouldn't go through past one kever more than once on any one particular day. Again, this last part, again, is, I think, more al pisod, and therefore, again, the main meaning is that people do have to go to the cemetery on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Cut this part here, and we'll continue tomorrow with Hataras Nedarim, just because our time is up. I'll just mention back just for a quick moment. We mentioned at the end of yesterday from the Shai Tshuva Rabbeinu Yonah. This comes from the Hakdama. So the second point is that Achuti Kasha Yizacher Lashuv Mechatoso Yechaber Olav Ma'od Onsho. That somebody who does Averus, which is all of us, somebody who does Averus and then pushes off the tshuva process, his Yechaber Olav Ma'od Onsho, his onesh becomes more, right? It becomes worse, more intense. B'chol yom, every day that you push off doing tshuva, the punishment becomes more. Ki hu yodeish et tzarech lashuv, because you know you're supposed to do tshuva. Hu amud v'lo asa tshuva, and you're sitting around and not doing it. So the longer you wait, the more the onish will be for not doing tshuva. So that's hopefully a point just to inspire us to get moving on the tshuva process. And with that, we'll call it a night, and we'll pick up tomorrow.